Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Martha.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Lovely, lovely. Great to have you. Great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, after salvation comes growth. Now, in today's lesson, we want to learn about three simple steps to finding salvation and growing also as a Christian. So for today, we want to focus on step one, and we'll continue with the other two steps tomorrow. Now, Mother, first of all, isn't the job finished when we just accept Christ? I mean, what is this about growing in Christ? Why do we still need to grow when we've actually accepted Him?
Okay, thank you so much for that question, as well as this topic. I think it's quite an important one because many of us Christians tend to overlook the fact that once we are saved, many of us think as though once saved, always saved, but which is not actually the true thing. You asked, what apart from accepting Christ, then what is the next thing? The next thing is, or rather the first step is repentance. Now, one may ask, now, what is repentance? Haven't I already said, oh, yes, I received Christ as my personal Savior, then why should I repent? As you all know, repentance is deeply saying, no, I'm sorry of what I have done, and what I have done is indeed wrong, and I need to repent, or rather change. So when we read from Acts chapter 3, verse 19, I think I have my Bible here. Mm. If we read from Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says that repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now remember, this should have been Peter when he was talking to some people that were seated around after he healed the lame man. I think you remember that scenario. So while he was preaching at Solomon's portico, I'm sure many people had asked to say, but then what happens from this? What do we do? How do we get saved? Then he says, repent therefore, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So repentance is the first step that one needs to take after they say, no, I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Then you need to repent. You need to be sorry from what the sins that you have done and turn away from them. I think that's basically what I can say.
Now, what does the lesson then teach us about the first step? What is our part in getting rid of the sin in our lives?
So, the part of getting rid of the sin in our lives is many people may think as though it's very complicated, but basically, if you think about it, it's just saying, I'm sorry. I confess I'm sorry, and I'm willing to change from the old habits that I had. Basically that. So we can get all this from 2 Corinthians 7 verse 9, where it says, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. So repentance, like we said, it's simply saying, I'm sorry for the sins, and you want to turn away from them. Can you repeat your question again?
I wanted to know our first step in getting rid of the sin in our lives.
Okay. We all know 1 John 1 verse 9. I think it's a Bible verse or a memory verse for all Adventists, or let me say Christians, whether Sunday or Sabbath. It says, if we confess our sins, He is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. Now remember, or rather note, that the Bible doesn't say He is able to cleanse us from some sin, but He says from all unrighteousness. And this is the beloved John that was writing these words. He says, 1 John 1 verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love this verse, although it's a memory verse, but if you look at it one by one, it shows how faithful he is to forgive us if and only if we confess our sins. Now, someone may say, no, but I have confessed. I don't feel like I have been forgiven and whatnot. Sometimes, you know, I want to mention this quickly. You know, repenting, true repentance is not all about crying. And I think this is what we have adopted as Christians. After we are praying, after we pray, then when we cry, then we feel like, yeah, I have repented. But no, it's not that.
Yep.
True repentance is not about crying. True repentance is actually about changing from what you were doing to doing something else. And you know, this thing does not come out of our own might. The repenting does not come out of our own might. And we can see this from Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Acts chapter 5, verse 31 says, let me just quickly read. I'm trying by all means to be calm because I'm breathing heavily. Okay. Acts chapter 5, verse 31 says, now, no, you know, this is the time when Peter was, you know, I like the fact that these apostles were put in prison and out of prison all because of talking about Jesus Christ. Now, the Pharisees were like, did we tell you not to speak about this man? And you want us to feel guilty because we killed him? So to some extent, these people knew that what they did was wrong, right? And then Peter answered and says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on the tree. Now, him, meaning Jesus, God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So actually, repentance does not, we cannot do it on our own.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Repentance is actually given by God himself, Christ. He is the savior and he gives repentance to Israel. Now, Israel, we all know we are the spiritual Israel. So, and forgiveness of sins. So never should we ever think that out of our own efforts, Zama, no, I pray every day. No, I do this every day. I can repent. Well, I think maybe I will repent when I think I can. It can never happen like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may never know when you keep postponing, what if your probation closes? So immediately you receive or we receive them. Impression that you need to repent of something, quickly grab on it and repent, because the time, second time may not come. So repentance also comes as a result of Christ giving it to us, compelling us through the Holy Spirit to repent and do away from our own things.
Man,
like
yeah,
that.
True. Thank you so much for that. Now, what would you then say is necessary for the repentant sinner?
What is necessary for the repentant sinner?
Yeah, like what else is part of repentance?
Okay, so there are many things that are part of repentance. The first thing that we need to know is when Christ says he forgives us, it means he will cleanse and forget of the sin that is repented of. I love the fact that he never remembers. It's more like he has thrown it in a sea. And I think that should be Micah 7, verse 19, which says, into the depths of the sea are these sins thrown. Now, nobody, even up to now, many scientists have come on board to measure the depths of the sea. I don't know if they've reached or not, but I know the sea is deep. When we repent, the sins are thrown away or vanquished, whatever word we can use, are evaporated or are what. He never remembers them. That's the beauty about God. And that's why we always say his loving mercies and his love endures forever. Meaning, if he has promised to do something, he does it wholeheartedly without holding anything back. So when he cleanses us, he does cleanse us fully, and we are well. Maybe another thing that we can add on repentance, we also have to understand that from Acts 5, verse 31, since we know that Christ is the one who gives us the repentance. Now, remember, part of the thing that made Christ to be crucified on the cross was the fact that we became so stubborn to sin. And you might think that to some extent, sin is not as serious as it is. I want to think that's what Eve and Adam thought, to say, it's just an apple. Oh, not an apple, rather. It's just a fruit. Yeah, it's just a fruit. It's just, I don't know why I said apple. Oh, God, forgive me. Yeah, it's just a fruit. What can come out of a fruit? I mean, it's just a simple fruit. It's just a bite. But just from that, that's how serious, imagine how serious the consequences came. And up to now, we are suffering from the consequences of just disobeying and not wanting to repent. And another thing is, and I think I thank God that they also realized that they did not do a good thing. And they kept asking for forgiveness, and there came the sacrifices and all. Another thing I can want to mention is there are times when we repent not because of the goodness of God, but because of the fear of the suffering or consequence. I think that is not true repentance. Because I'll give examples of Zachariah. Remember Zachariah, the short man?
Yes.
Jesus called him and he said, Zachariah, I'm going to your house today. And when he went there, he was shocked. How is it that the Savior is coming to a tax collector? And then just from the presence of Christ there, Zachariah decided to repent. What did he do?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus, yes. Oh, I've been reading a lot lately. So a lot of words and names are coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Pardon for that. So Zacchaeus, so the time when Jesus said, I'm going to your house, just the presence of Jesus at his place, and just the, I'm sure Jesus did not really condemn him outrightly, but just the lessons that he gave, Zacchaeus was compelled to repent. Now, remember, he just did not end on lip repentance. He did not end on lip repentance. He decided to act by saying, from what I have done before, I'm going to give back to the poor. How many times was it? 4 times. What he had. So that is repentance. It's compelling you, being compelled to do away with the past wrongs, make them right. And that's the chaos. David, the famous man, he was convicted, or rather he was caught with adultery. He did not end at saying, oh, since I'm going to be taken to, or rather I'm going to have consequences that will bring me down or as a king. No. He decided to say, no, Lord, create in me a clean heart. We all know Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, purify me, O Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. For him, he saw the need of God's presence. That is true repentance. Yep. Not that, no, do not take away my throne, I will be disgraced. No, I did not hear him speak like that. So, and then we also go to who is this one? Judas Iscariot. For him, it was the fear of the consequence. Now, this repentance thing is very cardinal, because when you repent, it means me, I think I give respect to people who repent and do it. It shows me that you have courage and you are brave. For Judas Iscariot, he realized that he was wrong. He needed to repent. So for him, his repentance led him to commit suicide. And that's not true repentance, because I'm sure, how would you commit suicide when God is a loving God? He's calling you to just repent and do away with your wrong things. Not that he's going to beat you or anything. Quite the right consequences may come, but you can survive. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Now, what would you say is God's part in getting rid of our sins? I mean, what I'm trying to say here is, does it happen without God's prompting our repentance?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Like I said before, I think I'm jumping these things, but God is the one who prompts us. You know, the Holy Spirit comes and whispers, no, this is bad what you have done. No, this is bad. And if we heed to it, not it, to him, when we heed to the Holy Spirit, then we are given the chance to repent wholeheartedly and genuinely. So God has a big part to play in this, because he loves us. He said, I will be their God and they will be my people. So meaning everything about you, he is concerned, isn't it? So he prompts us. And like I said in Acts 5, verse 31, it's the Son of Man, he himself, him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Yeah.
Now, lastly, how would you conclude today's part of the lesson? What would you say are take out parts or take home, points?
So I think the take home points, when I speak about repentance, I normally give examples of myself because this is something I've been finding hard to do.
Mm.
We can never wait to feel that indeed I need to repent. Oh, yeah, I think I have repented. But from the few things that you have gathered, from the convictions that we have gathered, I think it is important to take steps and repent from the wrongs that we have done. Immediately, we just feel to say, oh, Martha, what you did there was not right. Quickly ask for God and repent and not do it. Now, remember, it is God who gives us the power. To live a righteous life. And I think we will talk about that, should be tomorrow. But we should never wait until maybe I think I have felt like, yes, I've been forgiven. That's when I will repent, or that's when I'm going to do this. But let us always, immediately we feel that we have drifted away from God, do not wait for God to say, now I'm calling you, Zama, come over. No, no, no. He has already promised, he has already written it to say, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you things you know nothing about.
Yep.
He has also said, if you confess your sins. No, he has not said, if I call you and then you confess. No, no. He says, if you confess. So meaning, immediately we realize that we need to confess and repent. Do it there and then. If you think you need to stop lying and committing all those things, if you feel like you've been convicted to say, repent, 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 do it there and then, because the next time may not come.
Mm.
And he is always gracious to help us repent. He is always gracious, such that he's always inviting us. The invitation is already there, so it will not always be coming, but the invitation is already there for us to confess and repent. I want to read this part. It says, if you have drifted away from God or have not yet come to him, please think about how eager your heavenly Father is to welcome you home. He's always eager. He's always eager, very eager, actually. And he demonstrated his forgiving love on the cross, which we all know. Cross already on its own should give us the zeal to go back to him every time we feel like we have fallen down. Remember, a righteous man falls how many times?
Seven times.
But does what?
He rises up, remember? Yeah.
Exactly. So we will fall definitely. But remember, he's always inviting us to say, rise up, I'm still willing to forgive. Immediately you receive the conviction, confess, and he's able to forgive.
Beautiful stuff. Martha, thank you so much for coming through. Always a pleasure talking to you. And once again, we want to thank you so much for coming through here on the radio.
Thanks, Dama, so much. Bye.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.